I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock, and we will take your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns until 11 o'clock, starting it now. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Again, 860-522-9842 is the number. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. But yesterday, I just want to give you a quick little story. I spent all day with 300 of the actual makers in Connecticut.
Oh, very nice.
The Connecticut Tool and Machining Association members.
Aha. Uh-huh.
We were ruining a good walk by whacking a bunch of balls around a golf course. Man, I have a long way to go with whacking those balls. But I just, again, the more I'm out with people on this golf course who actually make things in Connecticut.
Right. They do make things in Connecticut?
We do. And I joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ooh. I joke a lot about, you know.
Imagine that.
I hear we make great pizza because that's what the state of Connecticut thinks we should market so that the Utes stick around. Despite the fact that my youngest is saying, Dad, I can see my breath because he can't afford electricity to keep his domicile warm enough. But the state of Connecticut says, oh, yeah, pizza, man. That'll keep him here. No, it's folks like the Connecticut Tool and Machining Association. Of course, we have many clients that are part of that association. Mm-hmm. I was able to say hello to them. And I just got to thinking, it's like, we make great pizza? No, we make airplane parts and howitzer parts and nuclear submarine parts and all sorts of amazing components.
And what goes engines.
Engines. That all
jet
go
engines.
All go into actually making the country work. And It just seems like an insult to say we make great pizza. It just bothers me to no end, as you can imagine, you can tell, when it comes down to actually seeing people in Connecticut make stuff, period. And they were great folks, and it was an enjoyable day. One of our guys in my foursome at Tab, one of our engineers, actually got a hole in one.
Oh!
Yes, on the closest to the pin. He couldn't get much closer. I witnessed it myself. It was like a par three and boop, boop, right in the hole. And so
wow.
Congratulations to Terry for that. But it was a great day. And again, it just got me thinking so much about this stupid marketing campaign of we make great pizza versus we got great companies in Connecticut that make great stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And you can actually have a great career and work with really nice people and very successful people. And the state it's not helping them.
No.
You know, they are always making it difficult to operate in Connecticut. So it was a great Friday. I'm a little tired. I don't know how to play the game of golf. It's not really a game. It's a torture mechanism of some kind. But it was a great day out there on the golf course. So now in other news, Dennis, you want to talk about some technology news?
I do.
What do you got going on?
You may remember the Wemo product line.
Yes.
Of IoT devices, plugs.
Yes.
And light bulbs and switches, power switches, not networking switches.
Right, Internet of Things.
Stuff like that, little appliances that were managed through the cloud, through Belkin's Wemo service.
To make your house smart.
Right. You had thermostats, all kinds of stuff,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the Wemo product line has been out for a long time.
I think
it's like 15 years old, and
yeah.
It was pervasive at one time. It was, for a lot of people, it was pretty much the only type of managed device that they could get to start out in that field, if you will.
Right, be able to flip a light off and on through your smartphone.
Right. Well, it turns out that Belkin is pretty much done with Wemo, and they're going to shut down their Wemo management services.
So everybody who's got a Wemo product.
So it's going to be not manageable anymore.
It's ridiculous.
Now, a lot of these things, I mean, things like, I guess, a thermostat. I mean, you could probably still set a temperature on it physically. And
well,
leave
that's
it
like
at
the
that.
Old days.
Right. I mean, it's just an old-fashioned thermostat from 50 years ago.
Right.
And it'll still work, at least for that. Mm-hmm. But all of the management features that people actually bought and were paying for are going to be gone because they don't want to keep that service up and running. They're going to shut down those servers.
Yeah, Google's doing the same thing with their Gen 2 Nests. And people that have the Gen 2 Nest won't be able to interface in October. That really makes me angry.
Yeah.
Those things are expensive.
Yes, they are.
And they're going to have the service keep running. So if you have a Gen 3 Nest, oh, lovely. It'll work. But your Gen 2 that you spent nearly $300 on to manage your energy.
$300.
Yeah, those Gen 2s were expensive. Maybe a little less. And you had some, you know, some technician install it for you because back then it was pretty complicated. They still are pretty complicated. Now it's not going to work. And it'll work, to your point, if you can set the temperature. But no, if you want to set the temperature from 1,000 miles away, which is the real benefit of dealing with smart thermostats, you can't do it anymore as of October. And we'll have to buy another $300 thermostat.
Right. And that's part of the problem here. You can buy a great device that works really well, and you spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a day when the manufacturer just says, "Nah, you can't have that today anymore."
Right. It's almost
we're done.
It's almost like the manufacturers are trying to figure out how to market Internet of Things devices the way they seem to market shoes to my wife. How can we get them to keep buying more? It's ridiculous. You invest your time and energy. I mean, I think I've got three or four different smart applications for different switches and different cameras and different thermostats. And it's just kooky how many apps I have to manage this.
Same here. I mean, I have one app to manage my washing machine.
Yes.
And then I have another one to manage my power switches in the house.
Yes.
And then I've got another one to manage my door camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all just kind of a puzzle and mix and match of everything.
We need one app to rule them all, and in the darkness bind them. We'll see.
We could call it the One Ring app.
Yes, the one true app. All right, another news. I saw this and was like, this is another thing that drives me nuts. So a major U.S. power operator says AI and data center demands are pushing prices up. Well, surprise, surprise.
Well, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, we had an expert talking about it. Peter Kelly Detweiler has not been on our show. We'll have him on again.
Yeah.
But PJM's territory are expected to increase 20% this summer. And they handle 65 million customers. 65 million customers.
Wow.
Yeah. 13 states. And they are saying because of AI and data centers, your prices are going to go up 20%. Now, I would contend that makes no economic sense. I understand we talked about what here in Connecticut because we don't even understand how electricity works.
Right.
But for states that do understand it, why are you not charging AI and data centers a premium to suck mass quantities of electricity off the grid and not impact 65 million customers? Your customers that are just regular customers like Dennis and I, right? Shouldn't be paying a premium because you've got other customers sucking mass quantities of energy in that way. Period. They should be paying the freight.
Well, yeah, of course, but that's not how it works.
Only because some ding dong in some sort of political role is interfacing and allowing these energy monopolies to do this. It makes absolutely no sense to charge them a discount for mass quantity of energy consumption. That doesn't give any incentive for them to actually figure out a way to make it to do whatever they're doing better, faster, cheaper. You should be charging them a premium. That premium would then go toward improving infrastructure, getting us better ways of powering things, right? And if AI and data centers are the thing, and they're so smart, have them ask their AI how to fix it, right?
Right.
So why the rest of us are going to be hit with 20% increases because of AI and data centers is mind-boggling, and it's backwards. And it just shows you the experts in charge aren't expert at anything, right? You don't discount power to mass consumption of power. You're not selling like hamburgers where if Dennis buys 100 hamburgers, he gets a discount. That's different than energy.
True.
Right?
True. However, even companies that buy mass quantities of burgers as opposed to you and me going into a store, we have to fund whatever the infrastructure or logistics operation that we have to handle that influx of burgers.
Sure.
So, but it sounds like the AI companies are not having to do that when it comes to power.
The tractor trailers.
They don't have to do anything.
Right.
There's no logistical side of it for them to have to contend with.
Right.
All they have to do is turn on a switch and let that server power up.
The tractor trailers with 18 wheels, X number of axles, forgive me, I have no idea, will pay a higher toll than you and I with four wheels. So same idea here with AI and data centers. Yes, we want obviously to move forward and see where AI can help us and all that. But why are we always subsidizing these things? If it's such a great idea, earn it yourself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Pay a higher price for energy. That 20% that would hit $65 million should be a 40% fee on the AI and data centers. And guess what? 65 million customers either have their actual power prices stay the same or go down.
No.
Wouldn't that be a thought?
No.
So I don't know. I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer. But when it comes to this basic economics, somebody's winning and somebody's losing, and it's always us.
That's true.
And it just doesn't make sense.
Always the losers here.
And it's because we deserve the government we voted for is why we keep losing. Because, again, there's a political interface, as in case of Pura here in Connecticut, because clearly we don't understand how electricity works in Connecticut. Yeah. And here in this other interconnected thing with PJM, we're 20% higher electricity bills because of AI and data centers. Doesn't make sense to me. We're going to step out for a quick break. We're going to get to your calls, 860-522-9842. And also, you know, we have great pizza here in Connecticut, right? We make great pizza. But if you have any thoughts on what else we do better in Connecticut that might make the Utes stay, what else is great about Connecticut than the pizza? I'd love to hear that, too. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. You know, the folks at, you know, Elon, Grok AI 4.0, the stuff that's sucking all the energy out of the planet here, they're going to charge people $300 a month subscription to that AI technology.
Whoa.
If you can afford that, and if you're going to charge people that, why would we have to be impacted by the energy consumption of your product? It should be fine. You want to charge $350 per month to cover the cost of your power. Go ahead. But don't have it impact my energy bill. It just doesn't make any economic sense how it's allowed. You know, it's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. We should be charging a premium, improving our grid, improving our sources, all on the back of AI and data center, not on 65 million customers. Like there seems to. And of course, the article, if you read it further, well, if they only had more solar power, it would be better. Look, guys, go ask Spain how they did with their solar power, right? Spain, Portugal, the whole country went out. So that's not a solution either.
Yeah.
It's not a solution either. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And we're also simulcasting on our Facebook page over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the Computer Talk with Tab listener network on Facebook. If you want to join, just ask. And if you're generally not a crackpot, we'll let you in. Right, Dennis?
That's right.
And we're on the YouTubes, and you can follow us there as well. So everything's there. And everything we've talked about so far has been posted over to our website. So as we're waiting for your calls, four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. We'll go to another story. Anything you want to bring up there, Dennis?
Yeah, down in Virginia, the great state of Virginia.
Yes, sir.
They are dealing with the problem of the youth and social media.
Ah, the youths again.
Back in May, the governor signed a law that requires social media companies there to allow minors, and I think the definition of minor is 16 and under.
Okay.
Only 1 hour of social media use per day.
It's like almost cold turkey. Right?
Yeah, I mean, 1 hour is almost nothing, right?
Yeah, right.
Especially for a kid who's got nothing better to do than suck up
which is the sad
Facebook
thing.
And TikTok.
That nothing better to do is the sad thing.
But at any rate, on July 1st, that law started to kick in. And there are now legal requirements that social media companies will have to meet over the next few months. I believe the actual requirement is going to have to be met by the end of this year.
Why does it take them so long?
Well, they just signed it in May.
Yeah.
And social media companies have to build whatever they need to build in order to manage the youth's time. Mm-hmm. The youths. On their services. So yeah. I would assume that there is some buildup that needs to be done.
All right.
But at any rate, I brought that up because we talked about age verification for porn.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And in this case, that's being coupled with the time limit because Facebook and TikTok, they're going to have to know who the 15-year-olds are that are using their service and that they're in Virginia.
Yes.
And they're going to have to follow that requirement. However they need to do it, they're going to have to implement that.
Right.
So it's actually more than one requirement being imposed by a state at one time.
Yeah. Well, I remember when, I was a kid and you wanted to get a Call of Duty style video game and I was under the age of 17, my mom had to go ahead and go up to the register.
Right.
And say, yep. Yeah, I know he's only 16, but let him have it. So that was something that we had to do way back in the olden days. And now with this, if you're logging in to social media, as opposed to porn, which you don't log into.
Right.
Just so you understand, guys, the simple solve for the porn issue is forcing a login. Not a solve 100%. I know. But it's a better move. So in this case, in your logging into social media, you can be more verified. Because you have to log into it to say who you say you are before you'll be given the access to the actual product. And I can see that no VPN is going to solve this because you're going to be a resident of Virginia. Now all of these social media companies have to actually deal with where you're from.
Right.
And as part of your login. So that's at least a better step. So the folks in Virginia have a better understanding as to how to get this more secure than the rest of these dinglings who are regulating porn, which, come on, guys. If you just tell the porn folks you have to be a logged-in user before you can see the content, it would solve this issue rather fast. More quickly. It'd be the right step. It won't solve anything. What am I talking about? Who knows? porn built the internet. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Three lines wide open on this Saturday morning here in Connecticut. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And again, on our Facebook page, even if you follow us on X, all these stories will get there for you. So you don't have to hunt and peck and Google it. You can actually find it via the links. So Lori, hang on. We're going to go to the news and then get back to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. And we're here till 11. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you, 860-522-9842 is the number. And I know I was kind of talking a little earlier, was able to golf with the folks here in Connecticut that actually make stuff on Friday, the Connecticut Tool and Machining Association. And but here in Connecticut, we just talk about how we make great pizza. And well, that's lovely and all. It really is not going to have folks, you know, hey, I want to go to Connecticut and pay some of the highest prices to live there because they make great pizza. No, you want to come to Connecticut because we have some of the smartest people not running the electricity grid. That's a whole other group. I don't know who those people are, but some of the smartest people in Connecticut running amazing companies, making amazing parts for amazing companies. So that's why you want to come to Connecticut, to work with those types of people. But let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Lori first here in Deep River. Hey, Lori, what's up?
Good morning, guys. Happy Saturday. Kind of drizzly out still here.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. We still need the rain. We don't make just great pizza. We really do make the best pizza. You know, straighten you out here. Just to clarify.
That's fine.
We make the best pizza. You know, you go anywhere else in this wonderful country and it's like, ooh, this is cardboard.
Is it? But my point is, though, is it compelling enough to draw you to the state? The state of Connecticut is actually marketing it like that, Lori. I'm not going to argue that we make great pizza, but is it compelling enough to have some nice recent graduate of, I don't know, some university to say, you know what? I want to go live there because of that.
No, they're not coming here.
They're not coming here.
I know.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We need a better marketing.
We need to market something else. You're right. Oh, my God. Now, as far as AI, and then I'll get to my other question. I've talked with you guys before about our security system and how it showed us our pet bobcat that comes through in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I really love AI. When I go out in the morning, it says that I'm my husband.
It recognizes
me as my husband. Now, granted, we've been married for more than 40 years.
I did hear that starts to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I mean, he's bald. I've got a braid down my back, and it still recognizes me as him. So AI is wonderful.
Yeah, it's not quite there yet. Not quite there yet.
No, not quite there yet. I don't want to pay for that. Now, the real question that I have, Al's got an old Windows Surface Go 2.
Mm-hmm.
Three, four, maybe. I don't know. Not that old. He does not like an Android. Okay. Right. And I have the Apples in the house. I love my Apples, but they are very expensive.
Yeah.
But I don't work with Microsoft. It doesn't compute with my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But the one he has, it's an absolute dog. It has an incredibly slow startup. It's constantly doing these frilling updates. I'm assuming that's just a Windows thing, but, you know, let's do another, two a week. Let's do another update, and the settings that you had are now gone.
Yeah.
A good replacement?
Well, if he doesn't want Android, that would be the best replacement. That's my, I know.
Windows Go?
Well, again, Windows is not something that, you know, for a tablet is something that I would recommend at all. I would do everything to get away from a Windows operating system if I had a tablet to use. And since most things on tablets are all appified anyways, I would contend he's not writing a novel on this thing, right? So
no, he's scrolling internet. He's looking at maps so that we can plot out our rides, coffee runs, you know.
All right. I would tell you to consider Android only because it's a great stable operating system.
Yep.
And Samsung makes a great tablet. I've had two of their tablets, and they've caused no trouble.
Those things are banging, as they say.
Mm-hmm, as the Utes say. And, of course, Pixel has a tablet, too, which I've never tried, but the Google folks do, too. But I think the Samsung folks seem to have it right. So take a look at the latest Samsung tablets that are out there. Go over to some big box store. Check it out.
But, you have an Android on... What is that? That's a
Motorola.
Yeah, we've got an old Motorola G5 Android that we still use.
Wow, that's really old.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not a phone. We use it to play music in the car and
look at maps
and stream some internet. So, because I know you scroll on that all the time. Yeah. So, nice and small and still works without a Surface.
Yeah, I hear you. So that's why we tell you to stick to Android for this kind of stuff, and you might have a better result, and not deal with the updates and the service packs and the reboots. I mean, the fact that Microsoft even got in the business of making hardware, along with the fact that they make software, was just simply to copy Apple. And they didn't do a very good job of this, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, those Surface tablets are, they're a support nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
For all the reasons that you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't called on anything because once you can actually get it to work, to wake up, let's pour some more coffee on the circuit board, it mostly does what he wants to do, but every now and then it's like, I didn't touch that. Why did you go there? Screen is just so frickin' fussy sometimes.
Yeah, they can be fussy, all right. Those are computers, Microsoft computers specifically.
All right,
Lori.
Thank you so much. Have a good Saturday. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And pizza for lunch.
You got tonight, it. Right? You got it.
I'm making pizza for dinner tonight, I guess. Okay.
Nice. All right, Lori.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. I bet you Lori makes really good pizza.
I'm sure.
Well, the other thing about the whole thing about pizza in Connecticut, and this is what I've just heard. I mean, it's coal-fired is the reason it's such good pizza, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, but the environmentalists don't like the coal-fired pizza. Like, they're trying to shut it down in New York. It's like it's almost like not having the proper gas ovens. So wouldn't that be ironic? I don't even have to say it. But wouldn't that be ironic if they shut down coal-fired pizza because of the pollution it produces to make your pizza?
Don't eat. Oh, I don't.
It's New Haven. It could happen.
I'm not disputing that, but come on, man.
It's crazy. It is what it is. All right. Let's go on to Bob in Hebron next. What's going on, Bob?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
And Eric, congratulations on your budding golf career. It's been having me tear my hair out for my whole life.
Oh, man, it's such a hard game.
Yeah. And when it's easy, it's hard. Mm. Okay, my question is about just the other day, I've got a couple of computers, and I thought, I'd like to share something using OneDrive between them. So I put something on OneDrive on one of my computers, and it's just sitting there, and it says status is sync pending. And it doesn't show up on my other computer when I look on OneDrive.
That seems to happen with OneDrive now and then. It just kind of loses its oomph.
Really?
It just decides that it's not going to move that file. There is a couple things you can do with OneDrive on your computer to kind of give it a kick in the pants and start up again.
So you see this pretty often?
Yeah, we get it. Mm-hmm. We get it. There's a reset method that Microsoft has an article about, and we can post that article for you and tell you how to handle that. But what it will do is it'll just cause the service to re-register everything that it needs to look at, and then it should start, moving that file again.
Yeah, so even though it knows the sync is pending, and even though it knows it's been pending for X number of days, hours, weeks, it doesn't know how to run the actual utility that Microsoft has to get the sync to actually work. It needs human intervention.
Correct. It knows there's something wrong, and it's telling you that because it's telling you that that's the status of the file.
Right.
But it doesn't know enough to say, I got to do this and then do it.
But the same tool is then touted by Microsoft as a way to back up your equipment. Hey, do you have OneDrive syncing? Well, no. You say it's pending. I mean, it's crazy, but we'll put the link up there to that, Bob.
Oh, okay. So now the computer where I put the file on OneDrive,
mm-hmm.
And that's the one that's saying sync pending.
Yep.
Once it gets bumped off being sync pending and it graduates all the way to, like one of the other ones says, available status, available when online.
Mm-hmm.
So to make it graduate up to that, once it makes it to that, should it show up on my other computer in OneDrive?
Yes, that's what will happen.
Okay. And OneDrive doesn't have its own login, right? That's just when you basically log into your computer, your Windows computer, when you boot that up and log into it, that's the same as logging into OneDrive, right?
Well, yes. If you're logging into the computer with a Microsoft account, I assume that is what OneDrive is using.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've logged in and authenticated to the service, that authentication is saved on the computer, and then OneDrive uses that to communicate with their cloud and connect it up with your account.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's all designed to work.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it does work right.
Hmm.
Except for the times when OneDrive decides that it's not going to move the file.
Hmm.
Even though it knows that it has to move it.
Yeah, it knows it.
Because the sync is pending.
Yep.
And it's just pending.
It's just pending.
I'm laughing about it, but I see this all the time, and it's funny.
It is.
It really is funny.
You know? But I hear Grok is going to rule the world and with their AI and be able to tell us, the next cure cancer in 20 minutes, right? Whereas it sync pending can't figure out how to start itself up. It just doesn't compute for me. So,
okay. And one other quick question: have you put up a link lately with the instructions for how to change your settings to get OpenDNS?
Probably not lately, but we'll put it up today. We're happy to.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you very much. Once again, you've saved me from tearing out even more hair than I tear out because of golf.
I hear you, Bob.
We All both right. hear you.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you. All right. So Bob's going to go ahead and sync his file. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. We're just talking about we make great pizza a little bit here off hours. And Carolyn says it's Greek pizza.
Right.
It's not the coal-fired
pizza. What'd she call it? Greek pizza.
Called it crack. What did she call it? Cracker? Sauce and a cracker? Sauce and a cracker. See, the funny thing is I've never even had any of that New Haven pizza.
No?
No. It's
well, pizza. It is good.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
But even me, a Connecticutian, who lives in the middle of a state, hasn't decided to hop in the car and make a pilgrimage to New Haven to get
coal-fired pizza.
Yeah, sauce.
You
and
don't
cracker.
Even need to drive to New Haven anymore.
No,
for
no,
that. There's
local
a whole
now.
Bunch of them. Yeah, all over the state.
I mean, that's kind of part of my point. Is it really marketable if even a guy who lives here, who looks like me, who's had a few pizzas, wouldn't even be attracted to go buy a? I don't know. I'm sure I'm a ding-dong missing out on the pizza, but it is what it is. Let's go. Oh, we had some callers in there. Where'd they go?
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolyn's trying to take some calls. So as we wait for your calls to come in and she picks up the folks who are calling in, anything you want to talk about there, Dennis? I heard McDonald's had an issue.
Oh, yes. This this was a McDebacle.
Yikes.
They have a hiring service that includes a chat bot.
It's primarily a bot.
Right. And it is mostly a bot that they use for interviews and stuff and getting applications and all of that. And it turns out that a lot of that data that was collected up in the form of all those chats was dumped into a database.
And, of how many records?
And tons of records.
64 million.
64 million records.
It's crazy.
And it was, and there was an account that was attached to it.
Yes.
It was actually a test account.
Mm-hmm.
They set up a test franchise to get into the service and work with it. Okay.
Yeah. And they use Paradox AI.
And the username and password both for this test account.
We're very complicated, right, Dennis?
Very complex.
And had 2FA.
123456.
For both of them.
For both, the username and the password.
Ba 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 ba.
And bang, all of that data is available to you.
65 million.
Just for putting in those sequences of numbers.
And you got to get past this bot in order to become an employee of
right.
McDonald's, which is a great company. But this is, again, just it's just breathtaking. And who knows what kind of data that bot is intaking. You know, it's, you know, probably your name, address, and I hope you could get put. Was it social security numbers too that are possibly in here, Dennis?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe those were in there.
So what a mess. We'll put the link up here. There's a lot of stories. Wired has a story on it. I'm not sure where you got yours.
I got mine from TechSpot.
All right. So yeah, probably put the TechSpot out there because sometimes Wire had a paywall. But
yeah, that's true.
But it's crazy. A username of 123456 and a password of 123456 with 65 million records of people who would like to apply to McDonald's.
I got the same combination on my luggage.
There you go. So at least the TSA can get in there and check out your socks. But it's this kind of stuff. And this is the year 2025. And I guess this security research just came upon it, right? They were just poking around. This is what these security researchers do. It's not even like they have to work hard to find it.
No, and you're right. That's what they do. I mean, there are researchers just trolling the internet constantly looking for anything like this.
Right.
So if you're dumb enough to leave that test account connected to a live database with credentials that bad,
yeah,
then somebody's going to come across it and they're going to embarrass you.
Yeah, it's
all
bad.
They have to do is, I mean, I get setting up a test account to, you know, work out the kinks of something, but you turn off the account when you're not using it anymore.
I have a story.
How hard is it?
I have a story for you on this then, if we'll wait for a second. So basically, Tab has a product called Patrol Dog, and Patrol Dog was designed to watch servers.
Yes.
And basically, because TJ was a programmer, this is how the story of Patrol Dog's birth came up. So basically, this is probably 20 years ago now, we were hired by a venture capital company to actually, he goes, Eric, we just had the server installed by some high power company down in Fairfield County. You guys don't need to look at the server. I just want you to support our workstations. Okay, fine. That's 20 years ago. Happy to do so, sir. Well, what happens 3 months into the relationship is their server crashes.
No.
Yeah. Who do they call?
Tab.
Us. They call us. Yep. Okay. So we run out there, wait for Dell to bring the hard drives out. Put the hard drives in, load the operating system, get it ready to go. And we say, okay, give me your backup tapes. And back in the old days, 20 plus years ago, we used tapes. They had 26 tapes in their rotation. So yeah, they're a smart, high-powered venture capital company. City Place is where they were, you know, beautiful building. I think it's one of the tallest buildings in Connecticut. And so we asked them for their latest backup. All right, here's the 26th tape. Blank.
No.
25th tape. Blank.
What?
24th tape. Blank.
No.
Every single tape was blank. The office manager dutifully swapped it out. But the people who originally set up in the same point of this 123456, they just set up a temp thing to have it temporarily to do a quick backup, but never scheduled the backup. And they told us not to look. So we developed Patrol Dog to save our clients from themselves. Because we're like, you didn't even look. You didn't even ask. Don't touch your server. Well, now we're doing it. So that's how Patrol Dog's birth came. We don't program it anymore ourselves, but we were one of the first on the planet to have an RMM tool that actually worked. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Kevin, hang on in Simsbury there. Three lines open for you guys. 860-522-WTIC is the number, and we will get to your calls. Any kind of comments, questions, and concerns. And if you think we make something better than pizza, let me know.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.